Hebrews chapter 2 this morning, starting in verse 11. We're talking this morning about his brethren, talking about Jesus, his brethren. Verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted." So his brethren, let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, your presence, your power as we go to your word this morning. Use it in our lives and teach us to grow us, Lord, and whatever needs to be done. And I pray that each of us now would push aside any distractions and just focus on hearing from you in these few minutes. So we give you this time. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You probably noticed in the passage at least three times the Bible talked about his brethren. Jesus Christ, because of his love for us, was willing to die that we might be his brethren. How blessed are we to actually be a joint heir, to be the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator. It's just amazing. And it said that there in verse 11. It says, "He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." And it says in verse 13, "And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." If you would turn over to Romans chapter 8, where the Bible teaches that we do, through salvation in Jesus Christ, become joint heirs with Christ. And Jesus Christ, again, not because we deserved it, but because of his love for us, made us his brethren. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The Bible says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So notice the Bible says we are not only children of God, but we become joint heirs with Christ. We become his brethren through salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn back to our passage, I want to share with you in this beautiful passage seven things that Jesus Christ has accomplished for his brethren, for us. So first of all, notice in verse 14, the Bible says, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Now this might not seem like as important of a point, but it's actually one of the most important points. And that is that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven for those 33 years and become a human being for us. Now, we won't understand the sacrifices that that involved until we get to heaven, I guarantee it. But to be Jesus, to be Jehovah, to be the Creator, and to be willing to limit himself in certain ways to humanity. I mean, imagine those first few years when he was a baby. Imagine what that must have been like, to limit himself to humanity for that time. And why did he do it? He did it for you and for me, that we might be his brethren. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what the Christmas celebration is all about. The incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. He was willing to become a human, as it says here, flesh and blood for us. How blessed we are. Secondly, notice Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He also, the Bible says, destroyed death and the devil for us. It says that through death, he might destroy him that had the power over death. That is the devil. Now, the devil's still causing trouble and he's the god of this world, but his days are numbered and his end is coming. And Jesus conquered death and conquered the devil for us when he died on the cross. If you would look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, where the Bible uses the word abolished. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice what it says. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ abolished death for his brethren. Imagine that. We're told in Revelation 1 that he has the keys of hell and of death. And when he died on that cross, when he rose again, death was conquered. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus Christ destroyed death, and he will destroy the devil completely. But he did it for us, for his brethren. And so the Bible says he became flesh and blood for us. He destroyed death and the devil for us. But he went beyond there. Notice it says in verse 15 of Hebrews 2, and deliver them who through fear of death were their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus Christ delivered us from fear and bondage. He did that for his brethren. Think about what Christ did. When he gave us the gift of eternal life, he took away the fear and he took away the bondage of the law and of sin, and he did it out of love for us. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ delivered us. In 2 Corinthians 1:10, the Bible says, he hath delivered us from so great a death. We were delivered through Jesus. And he did that for his brethren. The Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we were saved, the Bible says, we were dead. We were destined to be eternally dead in a place called hell. Jesus Christ gave us life and destroyed death, but he also destroyed fear, as we read here in verse 15, and bondage. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're not bound by the law anymore. We're not bound by sin. We have been made free. We've been given liberty through Jesus Christ. And he did that for his brethren. Notice it says in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And that kind of has a double meaning, honestly, because it talks about him becoming a Jew. And so, in the flesh, Jesus' brethren were the Jews, because Jesus Christ was a Jew, and he was the fulfillment of all the Jewish prophecies of the Messiah. But through salvation, we get grafted in, and we become part of Christ's family as well. We become children of God, and like we read there in Romans 8, we become his joint heirs, his brethren. All because of his love. So we see, first of all, that he became a human for us, that he destroyed death and the devil, that he delivered us from fear and bondage. Notice number 4 in verse 17, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. You see, when Jesus saved us from hell, saved us from fear, saved us from bondage. He doesn't just say, okay, you're saved, I'll see you when you get to heaven. No. He stays with us. He says, I will indwell you in the person of the Holy Ghost. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And beyond that, He becomes, as we read here, our merciful and faithful High Priest. And He does that for His brethren. You're in Hebrews, look at chapter 4, verse 15. Talks about His priesthood here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Unlike the Old Testament priests, Jesus Christ understands every single thing that we face. That's what it says. Tempted in all points. There's not a temptation that we can face that Jesus didn't face. Now, of course, it says Jesus Christ did it without sin. Praise God. And that's the God side of Jesus Christ's incarnation. But He still faced the temptation. And that is part of Him being that merciful and faithful High Priest. Is when we come to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, this one's tough. This is a hard temptation I'm facing. This is a tough trial." Jesus understands. And He is that one who intercedes for us in heaven. The Bible says He's able to save them to the uttermost, to come unto God by Him. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Imagine that Jesus Christ is interceding for us in heaven right now. Job didn't have that when the devil showed up, did he? Remember, the devil came and accused Job? There in Job chapter 1, it said, "The only reason Job worships you is because you're so good to him." And that's when God gave him permission to basically take everything from him but his life. But it doesn't work like that now. Now when the devil shows up, Jesus is standing there. And he says, see these nail prints? I shed my blood for that one. Those sins are covered. He is that merciful and faithful High Priest for His brethren. And so, number one, He became a flesh and blood, a person. Number two, He destroyed death and the devil. Number three, He delivered us from fear and bondage. Number four, He became our merciful and faithful High Priest. Number five, notice verse 17, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ made reconciliation for the sins of the brethren. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ became that mediator between God and man. Because up until Jesus Christ, there was enmity between God and man. We were God's enemy because of sin. And Jesus Christ brought us back together. His Creator with His creation. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ made reconciliation for the sins of the brethren. He became that bridge, if you will. He bridged the gap between God and man, when that gap was sin. When He became sin, He took God's hand, He took our hand, and He joined us back together. And now we have access to the throne of Almighty God again. We can go directly to Him and talk to Him. We can fellowship with Him. Before Jesus, that wasn't possible. And He did that for His brethren, make reconciliation for the sins of the brethren. Notice also Hebrews 2, verse 18. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted. Jesus Christ not only faced all the temptations that we could ever face, as we read in Hebrews 4:15 a moment ago, all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But we could take the next hour and talk about the suffering that Jesus Christ went through for us. And we won't understand it, I'm sure, until we get to heaven. Yes, He became a person. That in itself was an amazing sacrifice. But then, to be the holy God and to allow wicked sinners to abuse Him and mock Him and punch Him and stab Him and put a crown of thorns on His head and nail Him to a cross and then mock Him some more. He allowed all of that. He could have stopped it at any time. Like He prayed in the garden, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus could have just said, "I'm not going to do it. They're not worth it." And we would have had no choice in the matter. But because of His love, the Bible says here He suffered being tempted. He not only faced all the temptations, but He faced all the suffering. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 52 that His face was so marred that He didn't even look like a person anymore. You know, we see the pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross and His face is all glowing and wonderful. No. If there was to be a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, His face would have been nothing but a bloody pulp. That's what the Bible says. They ripped His beard out by the roots, and the Bible says His visage was so marred more than any other man. His face was so abused you couldn't even tell He was a person. And He did that for us, for His brethren. And then the Bible tells us finally here in Hebrews 2:18 that because of all those things, He is able to succor them that are tempted. That word, old usage of the word, means to help. Jesus Christ helps us through our temptations, helps us through life. He is there for us. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." In Matthew 28:20, Jesus Christ, because He understands what we go through, because He went through it Himself, because He has experienced it, and because of His love for us, the Bible says He is able to succor them that are tempted. Go to, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Over to the right, a couple of books. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus Christ, we're reading here about Him helping us, His brethren. Notice, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." How many times do we question God's ability to help us with trials and temptations? You know, we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape." But notice it says, He is able. He knoweth how. You think the Creator of the universe knows how to deliver us from temptation? Yeah, the Bible tells us so. And so the next time we face the temptations, remember, we're His brethren. And He died for us. But He also understands. And He is able to deliver us from those temptations. We just need to lean on Him. And He did all of this for His brethren. And that's just a sampling of the things He did for His brethren. But think about how blessed we are. He became a person for His brethren. He destroyed death and the devil for His brethren. He delivered His brethren from fear and bondage. He became a merciful and faithful high priest. He made reconciliation for our sins. He suffered temptation for us. And He helps us. All of this for His brethren. And I like what David said up there in verse 12. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." That's what we need to be doing, is praising Jesus Christ for all the things He's done for us as His brethren. In the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee, because he's so good. I would ask you this morning just to ask yourself the question, am I one of his brethren? Am I born again? I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you're a Baptist. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm asking if you know you're one of Jesus' brethren. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, you must be born again. You can go to church your whole life and you'll go to hell. You've got to be one of his brethren. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You must have life from Jesus Christ to be his brethren. If you are his brethren, is verse 12 a picture of your life? Are you praising God all the time for all the wonderful things he does for us and has done for us? Because that's what we should be doing. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments, David said. We should be constantly praising God because he's so good to us as the brethren of Jesus Christ. All these things he's done for us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank